Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and we're fired up for another edition of Fallen. With me is Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball, also Rory Mitchell, the Mitchell Report Unleashed, and he was so good with the NFL Blitz, we have to bring him on the Fallen show, Joe Budget Boss. Now, let's get to the NBA right away, and let's talk about Memphis. Drew, firing of a coach of Memphis, do you think he deserves it?
Well, it's hard to say if he deserves it, but apparently there's been issues with himself and Marc Gasol for a while. Gasol saying he did not basically talk to ownership and had him fired. But you know the deal, guys. All, you know, when there's an issue between a coach and a player not getting along, especially a player that signs a $100 million deal, you know that usually, unless you're Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich, it's usually going to be, the coach that gets the can. And in this case, after a very short tenure, David Fizdale is out. And we know the fact that guys like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, they checked for Fiz. They had him as their assistant coach in Miami. And they've expressed their dismay, which is kind of funny when you think of it. You know, players on another team commenting on the firing of a coach on a separate team. So interesting to see the fallout from this with stars like LeBron and Wade weighing in and other basketball players in the NBA as well. But, as for Gasol, it's sad to see this because I think they have some potential there on that team. They have some young players that I think have a lot to give in the league. But when you've lost eight in a row, it seems to be that something could be lost in terms of translation or, lost in terms of the communication. Maybe they're tuning Fizdale out. Maybe because Gasol's unhappy, it's affecting the rest of the team. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know Fizdale's going to land somewhere because he's got a lot of fans in the NBA.
So now let me ask you before Rory and Joe give their opinion. Let me ask you, there are rumors going around, and I don't know if you heard these, but there are rumors going around. You know, Cleveland has been up and down. There are rumors going around that Cleveland may want to fire Tyronn Lue and bring in Fizdale. As you mentioned, he is very good friends with LeBron and Dwayne Wade. And, you know, if LeBron wants anything, he gets it. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, that is obviously we know LeBron's powerful, the most powerful player in the NBA. To think that could happen now, that would be really unfortunate for Tyronn Lue, to have that happen. But as we saw with David Blatt, anything could happen when LeBron's involved. So, we're going to have to stay around and stay tuned to see if that will come to fruition right now. But, Fizdale's going to get somewhere. He's going to be sought after by any one of a number of coaching staffs if it's possible to get him on. So we'll see what happens. That's another interesting turn. And, as LeBron goes around, it's like a soap opera. Anytime things happen big and there's a connection to LBJ, anything can happen, guys.
Rory, what do you give me your opinion on that?
Well, the thing with Fizdale, right, is I feel, even looking at him from last year in the playoffs, when he came out and he did his little speech about, take that for data, the Spurs, the coaches, the refs, they're not going to get rooked, right? This season, you're starting, what, now 7-12, in the Western Conference. In the star-studded Western Conference, it's tough. I don't agree with the firing. When you look at a guy like, Luke Fizdale, he's got the ability to know how to market himself, but he can also coach these guys. You can tell he comes from the school of hard knocks, which I'm a big believer of having coaches that are not in your face, but they tell it the way it is. And, I don't agree with it. And if he's going to end up going over to Cleveland because LeBron needs all this help, let's be honest here. Does LeBron really need help? It doesn't matter. You give him the players, he complains. You give him the coach, he complains. When is LeBron going to stop complaining? Be the king of Akron and do what you're paid to do.
The king of Akron. All right. Now, Joe Budget Boss, do you want to give your opinion about the firing?
I personally like Fritz Day. I always thought he was a good coach. I thought he did good things with Memphis, even though they don't really have or have had the huge, huge star power that the West has been typical. The top teams in the West have typically, but at the same time, 8 losses in a row is pretty bad. I don't know if it's justifying the firing. Something had to be done. And just like Drew mentioned, usually the coach is the first to go. You're not going to get rid of the star players. So I don't see it being a good firing. At the same time, it might be justified.
Good points, Joe. You also got to think, Mike Conley, I mean, how much is his injury woes, you know, affecting this team? I mean, he's a guy who, you know, always seems kind of lately something happening to him. So that could be a factor there. And I don't know, you know, again, I agree. I don't know if it's justified to fire the guy. You brought him in, you know, to kind of, you know, do what he's supposed to do. He's been around, you know, successful teams, and you kind of fire him right now. So I don't think he had a fair shake fully. But again, as I mentioned, when you have a fractured relationship with a guy you're paying that much money, it's usually the coach to go, guys.
Now, let's just look on this for last topic. You mentioned a fractured relationship with Gasol. What do you think contributed to that? Because, you know, when you think of Memphis, yes, Gasol is very good and all that, but if you mention Memphis, you don't mention Marc Gasol, you mention the whole total team effort. Drew, what do you think the fractured relationship stems from?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'm not an insider down there to know exactly what's going on. It could be style of play. Now, recently, obviously, in the last game they played against Brooklyn, you know, he was benched. Gasol was benched with 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter, and they lost by 10. So that may have not gone over very well. Apparently, he was not pleased with that. But I think, too, you know, and he also said that, you know, he doesn't feel as valued essentially, you know, as Mike Conley. So I don't know. I don't know if that's something that you want to say. He's saying he's not valued. I don't think that's the case. I think when you're a player, you may be frustrated with not playing at times, especially when you're the so-called, you know, top one or two players. But sometimes, you know, you do need to get your butt sat down. Sometimes you do need to get reined in. I mean, could you imagine a player under Popovich going to the media and saying that he's not valued, that, you know, I don't think the coach would do that to, you know, another star player on the team? I mean, Pop would have a fit there. So I think for players, even of a high stature, sometimes you have to take your medicine. Sometimes you do need to get benched. Sometimes you're not playing as good as the coach thinks or wants you to play. I think it's up to you to be professional about it. I don't think that kind of reaction, you know what I mean? I don't think that's conducive to a good relationship with a coach and player, and I don't think that is an example to set for the younger guys. They've had tensions from last year, which is what has been reported. I don't know what it's about, but it's obviously frustrating, the fact that they're you know, that they've been losing. You know, and they haven't, I don't think they've lived up to their potential per se, as going as far as maybe, you know, people thought they could go or wanted them to go, but it's unfortunate. I just don't like him coming out and saying he's not valued, and then bringing up a guy like Conley's name. I don't think that helps at all, guys.
All right, we're going to talk about, let's go with the comic relief section here on Ball and barnburner.ca. Lamelo Ball, LeVar Ball, saying, you know, he's better right now than Steph Curry. Rory, that's like saying you're better than me in broadcasting. Come on. What do you see here?
Here's the question. Here's how I'm going to answer this. You know,
first of all, you're not better than me in broadcasting.
No, but here's the thing is that at the end of the day, when you have your kid and you're raising your kid up, what's the first thing you want your kid to be? Are you going to demote your kid and say that you're not better than that next guy?
No, you want your kid to be humble. Hungry, but humble.
but let me finish what I'm about to say. Okay. At the end of the day, when you have your child, and you can be humble as much as you want, but look at how LeVar, and let's focus on LeVar first, and I'll go to Lonzo. Look at what LeVar's done in this year alone, okay? He's used his independency, and I want people to focus on this, the independent part, and look at how he's appeared on four major networks, right? CNN, WWE, ESPN, and Fox.
Well, he hasn't appeared on Barn Burner. If he appears on Barn, he's too chicken to appear on Barn Burner. Put it out.
Yeah, but at sometimes, like I was saying, the independent part, right? They're independent. They did the marketability for the shoes, right? I knew Lonzo was going to be something special from watching him at UCLA. And you know what? He's special. And I put this out to a lot of people and said, if anybody's the challenge for that triple-double record, it's going to be Lonzo because he has the ability to do it. He's a pass-first, pure point guard. You don't see that in the NBA anymore, right? So when it comes to Lonzo now, he's playing on a team where they're borderline. They're going to flirt with the idea of being an 8th seed or a 7th seed in the Western Conference. I like what I see so far. There is time. There's some things that I see with him that I think he needs to get more of an edge, be a little bit more hungrier. And, you know, instead of passing the ball, let's do some more shooting. Let's do some more slashing. He's got underrated athleticism, right? So that's what I have to say about Lonzo and the Ball family.
All right. LeVar, LaMelo, Lonzo, they're all saying they're better than Steph Curry right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious that that's just straight foolishness.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know if you guys follow the politics game either, but LeVar was actually on CNN this past week too. So, like, he's everywhere. The guy's everywhere, and he's doing a great job of promoting their brand and what they're doing. At the same time, though, what I feel that it might do for Lonzo is possibly take away from how good his game actually is. And, I mean, Rory said it very well, is that he has the potential, once he gets his offensive game down and he starts to get the feel for the NBA game and where he can pick and choose his spots with the ball, with shooting the ball, as opposed to the pass first. Sometimes you could shoot the ball as well, and as Rory was mentioning, once he finds that sort of rhythm, he could be a triple-double machine. And that is something that could be very, very, very useful for the Lakers moving forward, adding some key pieces around him, possibly some big free agents in the future. I don't think the father, LeVar, is helping out too much. At the same time, though, what he might be trying to do is sort of build a shield around all of the children, that some of them might not actually make it to that upper level or succeed very well at that upper level. So get them all in the mix, build the business, keep them all involved, and hopefully, one of the three make it real big, which it looks like Lonzo's going to do really well, I think, bro.
All right, Drew, just a side note here, just coming down, and this is bad news for the Clippers. Blake Griffin has been diagnosed with a sprained MCL. He's out at least 8 weeks. That's for the Los Angeles Clippers. Do you want to touch on that, or do you want to touch on the Ball family?
You know, the Balls, I mean, what can you say? He's a salesman. He's trying to sell, and he's hoping that everybody buys. And he's trying to mask, essentially, the fault in his player. Look, any other rookie, it wouldn't be a big deal. It wouldn't be where there's so much scrutiny. Is he going to be this? Is he going to be the second coming? Any other rookie would have time to make mistakes, even at the number two spot. You'd be expected to make mistakes. You'd be expected not to be a perfect basketball player in your first year of a man's league, not a young boys' league, not a boys' league. The NBA is a man's league. But the fact that LeVar Ball cannot be quiet, cannot kind of hold his corner, and he's putting all this pressure on his son, and his son seems to be not handling it all the time, at the best of his ability. what can you do? I mean, guys are gunning for the guy every night, and he's having up and down games, and he's having an up and down season, which is normal for a rookie. You know, it's just unfortunate. I think he's going to have a great career. I think he's going to get to it. His shot needs work. He needs to be able to get that shot off a lot quicker. You know, and you can see by his numbers from the three-point line, he's not really performing up to par from behind the arc. But as far as a pass-first point guard, as far as a team player, it seems he is that type of player. He doesn't have a lot of emotions out there. But from what I've read and heard, his players and his teammates really, really like, you know, him and the fact that he's on their squad. As for Blake Griffin, that's a tough one there for them. The Clippers are not the same Clippers, obviously. It's going to be a big blow, and they're already, you know, out of the playoff picture. It's early, 8-11 so far this season. But to be honest, they've won 3 in a row, guys, so that's that was a good sign for them until this happened. I've had an MCL sprain myself. It's coming back for some reason. I'm feeling it in my right knee. It's an injury that kind of weakens in you, obviously. You can't really push off on it. And it's more that interior part of your knee that really, you know, hurts when you try to do anything. Even extending your leg, even extending it and bending it hurts on a regular basis when you have an MCL sprain. So for a guy like Blake Griffin, you know, what his game is usually, high-flying game, it has come down a bit over the last couple of years. He's not, you know, putting through all those posterizations that he normally would. But it's a big blow for them. This is not what they need right now after losing Patrick Beverley. So, you know, we're going to have to see what they're going to do, but not looking good for them despite their 3-game winning streak.
You're listening to Ballin' here on barnburner.ca with Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball, Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, and Joel the Budget Boss. Now, as you guys know, it's the quarter mark of the NBA season. We're going to focus on the Toronto Raptors. Report card time. I know this is Rory's favorite when he was back in school. Report cards, FFFFF. Anyways, Rory, let's give a report on the Toronto Raptors. Report cards, a couple players I'm going to mention. You tell me a grade. You can hear him on a lot of our shows here on barnburner.ca, but read every Raptors game report on barnburner.ca. Let's first start off, Rory, with DeMar DeRozan. What grade do you give him?
I give DeMar DeRozan, oh boy. Toronto, Canada, bear with me here, a B minus. I'm going to tell you the reason why. He needs to stop being this guy that closes out games that wants to do jump shots. Use your ability, use your focus, use your passion, use your praise that you have. You have a 1-2 quick step to do whatever you want to do when you get to the hoop. Drive the ball more, right? That's what made LeBron so successful. But there's a difference. LeBron's a bigger guy. DeMar's a more craftier dude when it comes to the ability of going to the hoop and whatnot.
All right, Drew. DeMar
DeRozan. I give him a B+. I mean, I think he's played. Generally speaking, he's been the guy this year. Lowry had a tough start to start the season, and DeMar was there. I think he's improving in terms of his handle, albeit a little slow. He still needs to be consistent more from behind the arc, as we know. And I agree with Rory. I mean, I'm just dismayed sometimes when I watch the game, how guys are making the game so hard. You know, when you have a chance to get to the hoop, when you're a good free throw shooter, when I played and when I watched games back in the day, guys were going to the hoop. I mean, there's no such thing as a jump shot to win the game. Guys were going to the hoop, and it was either they're going to score a layup, they're going to score that bucket, or the whistle's going to blow, and they're going to go to the cherry stripe. But nowadays, it seems like no one's really willing to consistently put their bodies on the line, especially down the stretch of ball games. And their tendency is to move the rock, to take a fadeaway, or to take a jump shot. I'd like to see guys go for the dunk pretty much at the clutch portion of the game, especially when you see a few times during the season where the opportunities, the lane was there. And the quick reaction would have been either a dunk or going to the free throw line to seal the game. Instead, a lot of players nowadays, they're basically settling for that jump shot, and I just think they have to be more aggressive. Overall, though, I still think DeMar is one of the top shooting guards in the league.
All right, Joe, I'm going to DeMar DeRozan, but then follow up with Kyle Lowry, Jonas Valanciunas, and Serge Ibaka, and then I'll go to Rory and Drew. So, first of all, DeMar DeRozan.
No, we'll start with DeMar. So, DeMar, he's having a decent year. I would have to echo sort of Drew and Rory's thoughts about how I don't feel he's getting to the hoop enough. That was his game, getting to the line. 81% from the free throw line. He really needs to get to the hoop more. Settling for a 3-point jump shot or a deep two is not really his game, although he can add that part into his game. Three, not really, only shooting about 30% from there. But at the same time, it's when he's getting to the hoop that it opens up those 10, 12 footers that he can nail consistently. So in my opinion, he really, really needs to focus on that. Just like Drew was saying, I echo those thoughts. He's not getting as much minutes as I thought he'd be getting this year, so it's points per game that are down. So for me, that is a bit of an issue. They might be looking long-term to make sure that their two guys, Kyle and DeMar, make it through the whole season unscathed. So that might be the issue there. You get him up near the 40-minute a game or late 30 minutes a game, he'll probably bring that points per game average up, and we'll see what happens in the rest of the year. As for Kyle, I think Kyle's playing well this year. I like the way he's moving the ball around. I like the way he's playing. I think the two of them work well together. At the same time, though, I don't feel they're as consistent early on as what they should be moving forward. One thing that's always bothered me with Toronto is that they don't give JV the ball enough. I think Valanciunas is sort of the muscle of that offense. And if you get the two-man game going between, even if you add a third guy in with Lowry, but if you get the two-man game going between DeRozan and Valanciunas playing off of each other, it just makes them all look good. And there's really no answer in the East, in my opinion, for JV. So I think they should dump the ball off to him a bit more. I don't think 10 points a game is sufficient for him and for Toronto to win from JV. He should be up around the 15-point mark per game, if not getting there closer to the late teens, maybe 20 points a game. But, again, it doesn't seem like it's in their game plan. Just like Drew was saying, the big man sort of disappearing in the NBA, and it's all become jump shots. So hopefully they can remedy that. And then if they can do that, I think they'll have a good chance at being in the top of the East at the end of the year.
Now, okay, Rory, I'm going to give this one to Rory and Drew. We'll talk about other players. But this one is really interesting to me. Rory, handle Bruno Capoto.
You mean the 905 guy?
What would you grade him on the Raptors? Raptors, not Raptors 905. What would you grade Bruno Capoto? 2 years from doing, 2 years from being, 2 years from being, 2 years from being in grade two?
This must be a trick question. I'll pass it off to Drew.
Hold on, Drew. What is this going? Passing. We're talking about Ballman. Take it to the net. You complain about Drew, about the DeMar DeRozan not taking it to the net. I asked you a specific question. Give me a grade on Bruno Capoto.
I really wanted to give a grade on Kyle Lowry, but Bruno plays for the Raptors 905 team, so I got to give him like a grade. I can't grade him, Joe.
All right, fine. Give me a grade on Kyle Lowry. Go ahead.
Please, Canada, do not come for me. Don't come for my neck, okay? Kyle Lowry's good, but there's things that Kyle Lowry does that I wish he could play and just be a little bit more of a focal point leader. There's times where he gets into his feelings. We've seen it spill over a couple times in the season, getting ejected out of the game. He's a good player, good basketball player. But I'm going to say this. To be on the upper echelon of the NBA, in my personal opinion, he doesn't even fall in the top 8 point guards in the league, right? You got to have a certain characteristic to you and a certain killer instinct, clutch gene effect, to get the job done. And I don't want to say this, but if you're going to be looking at you know, building now for the Raptors later on. I'm talking now 2 or 3 years down the road. I don't think Kyle Lowry is going to be a part of your long-term plans. That's all I'm going to say there.
All right, Drew, let me echo off this Kyle Lowry, and then I'll ask you a couple other questions here about other players. But for me, Kyle Lowry has been, and I'm going to say this, disappointing, because DeMar DeRozan has been playing great this season, and Kyle Lowry looks like he lost a step. And the NBA, it's geared more to a point guard league more than ever, point guard and shooting the long ball and all that. And it looks to me that either he started slow or has lost a step. What do you say, Drew?
I'm not sure if he's lost a step fully. It has been different. Remember, guys, there has been an adjustment made to the way they're playing now. His front court touches went from about just about 70 per game to 29. So there's a big difference. You know, there's a big difference now than what he was doing before. He was, you know, he had the ball in his hands a lot of the time. Now with the ball movement, things are different. But you got to give Lowry credit. He had a rough start to the season, and the last, you know, dozen or so games, he's picked it back up. You know, he's shooting over 40% from three. You know, he's starting to rebound like he was. He's mucking up, you know, mucking up the front court off of loose balls and trying to get on the offensive glass. What I love about him, and this might be detrimental to him the rest of the season, is the amount of charges he's taken. I believe it's like 12 or 13, most of the league. So he's sacrificing his body there to make defensive plays for the team. The Raptors are 12-7. I believe their record is lower than it should be. You know, but I think he's starting to turn it around. It's just the new offense. And just going back to what you said and mentioned about Bruno Caboclo, I've had a chance to be at several games this season. And, you know, even at the last game, they played against Grand Rapids, the Raptors 905 played that game, and they played a pretty good game. Bruno, he did well, 27 points in that game. He's averaging 18 for the season, in 2017-2018, about 44-45% shooting right now and 41% from three. I think with Bruno, and he's averaging 7.4 boards as well, I think with Bruno, the thing is aggressiveness. I was calling for him to be aggressive, you know, throughout the season. He finally looked very aggressive right from the get-go against the drive. I think Bruno, at the D-League level, if he wants to be a consistent NBA player very soon, because time is running out, he has to bring it every night. In order for him to show that, he's got to drop 25 points to 27 points every night out. He should be the focal point. He should be able to come into the D-League and show guys down there, like, I'm the man, I should be in the league. If he's not able to do that, it's going to be tough for him to find a regular rotation at the NBA level.
You're talking about Raptors 905. Let's continue on Raptors 905 theme. First of all, where's my ring? Second of all, let's...
I got mine.
You got yours, but where's mine? Forget about, you know, who's posting this?
We're working on it.
All right. I'll trade your ring for one of your co-hosts for the On Point TV show, and you know which co-host I'm talking about. How about that?
Oh, man. No, my staff or my staff? Sorry, I don't trade
right.
staff.
So I got to deal with Rory and Joel, right? So, all right. So let's talk about Raptors 905 there. You mentioned the last game, Bruno having a big, big game. But has the attendance picked up since they won the championship last year?
It's moving. It's moving along. I mean, On Point Basketball, we're a part of helping the team promote. We have a promotional package. Make sure you check it out right now on our Instagram page. You'll see the link. You can get, I believe it's up to between 10 and 15% minimum, one ticket purchased for that. And the code is ONPOINT905. So you can go to the website link, NBA.com/Raptors/905TicketPass. I've noticed that it's been pretty good here and there. There was 2,000. At the last game with Grand Rapids, they've had school day games. I believe they're having one coming up.
Yeah, December 5th at the Air Canada Center, Rio Grande Valley. I'll be in attendance.
Right.
That should spark up at least two people.
I think, you know what, I think it's more net marketing. I think if they continue to market, you know, for me, I'd like to see commercials out there. You know, they have highlights, commercials on the sports network saying, hey, 905 is there. I mean, you can get into the arena for $9.05. I mean, the value to watch current NBA players, future NBA players, guys that you may know, Canadian players that are in the league, Canadian coaches, Canadian trainers. You know, to me, it's one of the best values out there. You can't even go to a movie, guys, for $9. So, I mean, people got to come out. I've said this before, Toronto people, GTA people, they're big timers. They like the big time sports. They like the Raptors. They like the NFL. They like the Leafs, obviously. They love the
NHL. The Grey Cup champions.
The Grey Cup champions. But even that, what was the attendance for the Argos this season?
I have people at my bar mitzvah at the Argo game.
There you go. Toronto likes big-time sports. To me, the value's there for 905. The value's there for NBL, Canada, the G League. I mean, you got future NBA potential stars that, you know, came from the NBL, that came from the G League and into the NBA, and you're going to get a chance to see them, you know, before they break out. I think it's a no-brainer. But again, get the word out, do more marketing, and get the push out to get the fans in the seats.
You mentioned the NBL rivalry. Let's get to your hometown, the weekly London Lightning wrap-up there. Actually, it's Joe's hometown, too, of London. Boys, what do you have to say about the London Lightning, Rory, first start off with you? And Joe, do you go frequent London Lightning games?
I've been to a few, but I need to make it out more. Sadly, I'm working too much on the nice day play.
All right, Rory.
They kicked off their season on Sunday. They ended up beating the Halifax Hurricanes, 112-99. I had a coworker that was in attendance there. She actually messaged me asking me if I was at the game, but I was not. I was at work, you know, soaking up the Black Friday deals and whatnot.
Did you hook up Drew with a Black Friday deal? That's the question. Because Drew needs to get me my ring.
Okay, so hold on one sec. So here's the two things. The two things is this. One, I've seen the ring. It's on an Instagram story. So if you follow On Point Basketball on Instagram.
Oh, how nice. You're showing off my ring without giving me one, Drew. Nice, nice.
I told you I got the ring. I told
you
you said you got the ring.
Don't be selfish here. I deal with selfish people like Rory all the time. Come on. You pass me the ring and that's it. Go ahead, Rory.
And also, too, they play their next game on Thursday. And I believe they play the St. John Riptide. I believe that's the team. And I think Drew can help me out with this because we talked about this in our group chat. I think this is a team that the old London Lightning guy played for. Do you want to name his name there? Gabe Friedman?
One of my favorite.
Why should he write his name when you just named it?
One of my favorite players of all time when I started with the NBL in year one. Wow, what a player he is. And I've watched him for, you know, the first couple years he was in the league. Such a versatile player, Mr. Friedman. Just can do it all. And tough as nails, Rory, as you know.
I met him one night. I was out and about. This was when he was playing for the London Lightning team, and he's a real, real humble guy, you know. Just like Royce. I remember I was at a concert, and Royce and these guys, and I want to put this out there. There's a lot of these guys that they're so humble that they come up to you, and it's just the softest, hey, how's it going? And they embrace you, and they, you know, bring you in. They kind of give you a dap, or they, you know, and they embrace you, give you that half hug type of thing, you know, that brotherly love, you know, and always showcasing for the city.
All right, so
Joe, can I point out something? Sorry, before you go off the next topic, 5,564 fans in their game against the Hurricanes in the win on Sunday. I mean, that just right there, you know, I have to commend the organization for doing a tremendous job. Almost 6,000 people in that building. The basketball is definitely alive and kicking. And the league, I think, you know, the league is growing. NBL Canada, shout out to obviously the man they call the odd man, who's the deputy commissioner. He's been going around on tour, really promoting the league. And it's great to see that the league is kind of taking footing. I think they, again, need to do more marketing for that league. They need to get it out there that there is a league in this country. What do we have for? We got 10 teams right now. That's pretty good. The Niagara River Lions, they're sitting at 2-0. Same with St. John, 2-0. Moncton, 2-2. And London bounces back at 1-1, as well as Windsor Express. So some really nice squads. A bunch of teams have Canadian players on them, too. So it's great to get out and support Canadian basketball. NBL Canada is definitely on the way up.
All right. And one other thing before we go over to, I just want to just, you know, this to say right now, that London Lightning team, you know, led by Royce, led by Garrett Williamson, Marcus Capers, Mo Bolden is back on that team. This team is looking scary, and I don't want to be all favoritism, but London's about to repeat in the NBL. But this
oh, boy, that's he's putting it out there, folks. He's putting it out there.
Whenever you put out something, it's the other way. Even
you might get a championship ring from the city. How about that?
All right, if I get a championship ring, I'm moving to London. Now, last week...
hear that, folks? Joe's out of the six if they win.
No, according to Drake, I'm still in the six. I'm in Sky six. All right, now, last week... Take a seat now, and Joe, take a seat. Because last week we brought in a new segment, Rory's Video Game Update. So we're going to continue that tradition. Rory broke down NBA 2K18 and NBA Live 18 and another game. But it's the holiday season, okay? Let's face it. It's the holiday season. Black Friday just passed. A lot of sports fans. I know this is a basketball show, we're balling, but let's look at whether you pick up 2K18 or Madden. Rory, go ahead. It's your floor now. 2K18, NBA 2K18, NBA Live 18, or Madden 18. What do you pick up if you're a sports fan?
If you're a sports fan right now, now, it all depends on how you play your games. If you play them heads up, when I say heads up, I mean on console, you have friends, family come over to your house, then I would say Madden. If you play Madden online, it's a little gimmicky, right? I don't want to get into a whole spiel of where the gimmicks are, but it's not real football. It's supposed to be real football, but it doesn't play like real football because there's guys out there online that run, a series of, like, three plays, and they can dominate you the whole entire game. But if you want fun, you want fulfillment, you want joy, I would say, you know, pick up NBA 2K18, pick up the My Career, scan your face into the game, get locked into the action, and, you know, work your way through the roster, picking your favorite team. You got to go play through a couple My Part games and whatnot. The online mode is excellent. There's a lot of bonus features that they're giving for the My Player aspect, when you can go to the My Park. The way they've made it this year around is, if you get to the highest level, you appear on NBA 2K TV, and you're basically a featured presentation for the longest amount of time. And they're also rolling out a new platform on the console called the E-League, where they're going to do a draft. You're going to be put on a team with five other players or whoever else, and you get paid to play.
Paid to play. All right. So now another word. By the way, Rory, I got to say this. You mentioned 2K TV for NBA 2K18. Rachel was invited anytime here on Ballin. Trust me, Rachel is a definite source for basketball. Anytime she wants to come on, I'll dispose of all you guys, and just me and her will go one-on-one. But
hold on one sec. I'm just going to put this one to Drew. I believe Ronnie 2K follows On Point Basketball, does he not?
Yeah, I believe so, which is quite
thing. Can I just say this real quick? If Ronnie 2K already follows On Point Basketball, and On Point Basketball is featured on Barn Burner with the Balling Show, I think something has to get done in the imminent future.
Listen, let me ask Drew a question. If Rondi 2K asked you for a Raptors 905 championship ring, would it take you 2 months to get him a ring?
I don't know if Rondi 2K would be worried about the Raptors 905 D-League ring, to be honest with you. I don't know about that. You know, maybe we'll ask him one time, but we'll get to that when it comes to it. But, no, it's a privilege to have that happen, and hopefully one day we can connect with the 2K family and try to do something together. It would be fantastic. I think the video game industry is tremendous. It's always growing, and obviously esports coming along as well. So I think it would be amazing to have the ability to kind of work with companies like that and keep promoting ball, you know what I mean, and promoting the gaming industry.
And I got one more thing I just really, really, really want to say is that, you know, when they do these releases for these games, they have little, you know, kickoff inaugural parties and whatnot. So, you know, I'm just going to say this, you know, the birdie, you know, the universe, I love the universe, and I always say you have to speak it into existence. On Point Basketball will be at the next 2K19 event.
Well, wait. Hold on. Is that news to you, Drew? Is that news to you? Because he mentioned On Point Basketball. He did not say Barn Burner.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we'll see. I don't know, man. You guys are wishful thinking. That's all I can say about that, man. We'll see.
All right. So you've been listening to another episode of Ballin' here on barnburner.ca with Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball. Drew, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, and how's the On Point TV show going?
You can hit us up, obviously, at On Point Basketball on Instagram, at Drew Ebanks on Twitter, and On Point Basketball on Facebook and YouTube. Things have been going well. Got a lot of content that we're kind of cooking up right now. We're going to launch one of our first segments early next week. We're going to do a lot of promo for that episode this week, so look out for that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Serena Alcogali and Kasha Parshad are my co-hosts, so it's going to be a fun time. So more basketball, more Canadian basketball, On Point and Ballin'.
And by the way, I don't think I forgot about my socks. We'll be pulling up a winner, get it, next week here on the Ballin' Show, barnburner.ca, On Point Basketball.
All right. We need more people to email us, to put that, you know, All Point Socks in the subject line. Email us. We want a big pool of people to draw from. We want to give somebody one of our dope pairs of socks. So email Joe.
Info@barnburner.ca. That's info@barnburner.ca. Email me, and hopefully you'll have a pair of socks. Now, speaking about a guy who never wears socks, Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, episode 54, with one of Barnburner colleagues, Rudy Reyes from Talk Show. Rory, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
You can get on to me on Twitter, RoryEGN, and always supporting Canadian basketball, you know, always supporting an independent brand. And I really want to just go back to that real mini segment that we were talking about at the beginning, with LeVar and Lonzo and the family. Independency is what rules right now. If you're an independent brand, you go further places, and you can stretch and reach heights that nobody can stop you from getting to. You see it here at barnburner.ca. You see it there over at On Point Basketball. And this is how we get it done each and every day.
And you'll be stretching out socks next week, one winner. Joe, Budget Boss, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Yeah, thanks for having me today, guys. Joe, Budget Boss, you can reach me at Joe Budget Boss, Twitter handle, Facebook, and Instagram. The website's budgetboss.ca, CA is in Canada, and I produce daily content to help you out in your financial journey. So thanks for bringing me on the NBA wrap here.
I'm Ballin', and Drew, if you want somebody to handle your financial situation, Joe Budget Boss is the guy to call.
All right. Sounds good, man. Sounds good, Joe. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Great insight today.
All right. I'll leave. Any guys have one last comment as we close out here, Marlon?
One thing I really wanted to say, and I knew we didn't cover it. Zach LaVine now tore his ACL. Unfortunately, he got traded to the Chicago Bulls in their rebuild system. The video is viral. He came down the court, and he threw down a windmill jam effortlessly. He is back, ladies and gentlemen. Watch out, Chicago Bulls and Zach LaVine.
Yeah, good point. That's for sure. He might be back. My last comment, Team Canada going down yesterday in qualifying. They're 1-1 now, falling to the Dominican Republic in the Americas qualifier. That was a 88-76 loss. Phil Scrub led the team with 22. Deshaun Pierre had 15. Thomas Scrub and Brady Heslop poured in 10 and 9 points. Dominican improves to 2-0. Canada falls to 1-1. You know, they trailed early, 10 points down in the first quarter, tried to battle back, you know, but offensively they weren't having a good day with the squad. So they're, you know, it's an interesting format now, guys, with the Americas qualifying in all the areas and all the regions now. It's not the one tournament where you can gear up and get your best players if possible. You're talking games that are going to be played several months apart. And for Canada, it's going to be a detriment because we won't be able to call on, for the most part, our NBA guys unless it's the games that are in the summer. So I think they can bounce back. They're 1-1. They have a good point differential from defeating Bahamas on Friday here in Halifax. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. They play again February 22nd. And that's against U.S. Virgin Islands. And then they will play Bahamas on February 25th for the second window, the final matchup of the second window. So hopefully they can go 2-0 there, and then that would make them 3-1 overall.
All right, Joe Budger, boss, any last comments from you?
Yeah, no, it's just, for me, the NBA season's already kicking off, and the best part about it, we're getting close to Christmas Day. It's my favorite time of year. That's my second unofficial kickoff of the NBA year, and we're going to have a lot of great games on the slate there. So I'm looking forward to the sort of second half of the season, I guess you could call it, where we really, really gear up for some really intense rivalries. I'm looking forward to that Cleveland-Golden State rivalry kicking off on Christmas Day.
All right, so you guys have your shout-out now. I'm going to call out one guy here. My good friend, the long-range bomber, Tracy Murray, has told me that LeBron James listened to a snippet of one of our balling shows. I don't know which one. I'm going to tell you, LeBron James, you're nobody. You're nobody in basketball. You're nobody in any other sport in the world unless you come on here balling on the On Point Basketball and barnburner.ca. You're invited on anytime. If I have to bribe you with a bunch of boss handling your money, I will. LeBron James, come on anytime you want here. Could be with me and Drew. Could be with me. I know you don't want to talk to Rory because Rory's not worthy of being with your Akron Kingdom, but you're invited on anytime. Another episode of Ballin. Take care, everybody. Drew, thanks a lot. Joe, thanks a lot. Rory Mitchell, thanks a lot.
Shout out the Eagles. 10-1, baby.
Oh, please. That team is so overrated. It's not even fun. I can't even believe you're saying that right now on the basketball show.